Hello, and I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front line and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. Crusaders, those people who have an idea, and usually it's one that's not in the mainstream, and they take it out there and they make a case. They advocate, they encourage, and they entreat us to follow them. Those are innovators in our midst, people who see the greater possibilities where others see none. They are potential influencers in our community if we dare to listen. Today, I have guests who are crusaders. They bring bold new ideas and approaches to challenges in Northumberland. In the first segment, you will hear two amazing women talk about the work they do with the Therapeutic Family Care Program. They will tell you about a special event that took place this past Tuesday involving 25 different agencies exploring new approaches to help families in our county. Next, you will hear from Brighton Mayor Brian Ostrander, who, with his council, is leading the charge to stop flooding along the north shore of Lake Ontario. It's a real David and Goliath story. So let's get to it. There are children and youth in our community who need care that is beyond the usual services provided by places like the Children's Aid Society or Rebound or any of a long list of traditional providers. These are some of the most troubled and challenged members of our community. These young people and their families face great adversity in trying to live each day. On Tuesday, the Therapeutic Family Care Program sponsored an event called The Power of Resilience that brought in one of the leading Canadian experts in this field to Venture 13. I am pleased to welcome two of the organizers of this event, both members of the Family Care Program, to tell us more about this initiative. In the studio, I am pleased to welcome Krista Mathers and Tiffany Thixon. So nice to have you both here.
Thank you.
Thank you, Robert, for having us.
So what is the Resiliency Project?
Well, so maybe we can just start with our event. So our event on June 11th was at Venture 13, like you had mentioned. And we had Dr. Jill Stoddart, who is leading a project in the Waterloo region. It's a four-year project with Family and Children's Services of Waterloo, as well as about eight community partners. And it's really about working with families and kids and giving them opportunities. So looking at sport, art, theater. So we went about last fall to the event in Waterloo and heard about the project, and we left so inspired and full of hope. So we wanted Jill to come to our community and speak to our community a little bit about resilience and share a little bit about her project as well. So that's kind of how it all started.
Okay, so can we maybe unpack what resilience means or resiliency means in this particular context? Because it's used in many places.
Mm-hmm. So resiliency is about the ability to overcome adversities, you know, traumatic events, conditions, hardships that people are facing. And people and communities who have developed resilience really can resist the effects of hardships or bounce back or return or even excel their level of functioning.
So that makes a bit of sense. Mm-hmm. Maybe could you break it down for us a bit in more practical terms and explain how that might apply to a particular family or somebody that you're giving help to?
Sure. So, you know, in terms of my role as a system navigator, for example, I work with kids along with their families. So kids that have complex needs. So, you know, could be really big behaviors. It could be some special needs, different things that are really difficult for families, right? So when we talk about resilience, we're talking about trying to overcome that adversity. So when we work with families, what we were really inspired about with Jill's talk and listening to her project is really about the little things that we can do. So like I described some of the programs that were part of the Resiliency Project. I think sometimes we, when we see somebody having lots of difficulties, we think big and then it feels complicated and we don't know where to start. What was really inspiring about this work of resiliency is that this piece around ordinary magic. So the little things, the everyday things, having a connection to somebody at the school or to an adult in somebody's life, these are so important in this piece around resiliency.
It's interesting you mentioned that, because when I was doing my research and I looked at this term ordinary magic, one thing I came across is that this is not just made up stuff. This is evidence-based science that says, that explains how just a person's ability to overcome adversity is positively influenced, and I'm going to quote a study I read, positively influenced by the people and organizations that offer opportunities for everyday kindness and creativity. It sounds pretty straightforward, but why is it that we're talking about kindness and creativity? I mean, that seems like something that should be everyday things we do. Mm-hmm. What is it about kindness and creativity? Can you tell me what that means?
Sure. So I think in the context of the work that we're doing, specific to the role of the system navigator, which is the role that Krista is in, she really works with children and families and advocates for them to be met with that sort of creativity and flexibility and kindness because their needs are different and more complex than those of others in our community. So she encourages people to really reflect around the relationships they build with people and the connections that they have, and encourages people to think about problems in different ways and approach things in a different way. And I think the end results often could be looked at as, just a kindness, a connection with people that really makes a big difference in the lives of the families that she's working with.
Okay, maybe it's a good time then to step back a little bit, and let's talk about the therapeutic family care program, because I don't think too many people might understand. So can you just tell us a bit of the history of this program and what it does?
Yeah, so the Therapeutic Family Care Program is a shared service program between three Children's Aid societies. So that includes the Highland Shores Children's Aid, Durham Children's Aid, and Kawartha Halliburton Children's Aid. The Therapeutic Family Care Program began 30 years ago, and at that time it was called Treatment Foster Care. But as our program has evolved over the 30 years that we've been in existence, we have evolved into the Therapeutic Family Care Program, and that's because the work that we're doing now is a lot more with the biological families that exist within our community that need some supports, that are caring for kids with complex special needs or have faced diversity themselves and have different hardships. And within our program, we also host the system navigator role, which is the role that Krista is in.
And Could you explain what your job is then?
Yeah. So the program of system navigation is a fairly new program. It's about 3 years old. And really the program is around, like I said earlier, it's working with kids with complex needs along with their families. I've always say families because families are at the center. So I very, very much take a family-centered approach when working with the people that I work with. And in terms of working with complex needs, it's also this piece around having system barriers, system gaps that are preventing some needs from being met. So really my role is working with families as, I use this word, advocate. So working with them, I am there for them. I don't have any other sort of mandates but to work with them, work towards mediating barriers, looking at what gaps might be. So what was really inspiring, just to link back the resiliency piece for me, was it can be very challenging because we're working with many systems. When I work with families, you have education, we might have, you know, police involved, we have child welfare potentially involved. So there's lots of different systems at play. And it can be really hard, right? Because you're kind of challenging people to do things a bit differently and sometimes to be creative and to be flexible. What was really inspiring to me when I went to this resiliency summit was it's some of it is kind of easy, right? It's these little things, right, that we can do for kids and for families. And for me, it was like this huge weight was lifted off my shoulders because I felt like this weight of all of these challenges and how do we mediate and how do we do this? And when I go into meetings now, I can talk about, you know, going into a school meeting and let's talk about giving a child a job at school. What are they like? What are they good at? Right? And using, you know, part of my work is very much of a strength-based, solution-focused approach. So instead of looking at the deficits or the pathology of a child or a situation, let's look at what's going well, what are they good at, and let's build on that. And it's a really important part of this role.
So from a listener's point of view then, what we're talking about then is a system. We have the Children's Aid, mm-hmm. which I think we all understand. Mm-hmm. Young people go yes. into that program and they're provided a certain level of service, either foster mm-hmm. care or they go back to the family mm-hmm. and they're supported to a certain degree. Then there it seems to me that there's a whole group of children and young people who have extraordinary needs. Mm-hmm. They have additional things. Maybe they're violent, maybe they have a particularly traumatic background, maybe they face a huge amount of challenges, but they're beyond the scope of the normal Children's Aid. So those mm-hmm. are young people that come to you, and then you mm-hmm. provide these additional supports for these particularly troubled or challenge-based mm-hmm. Young people. Mm-hmm. And that's basically what your program does. And then you advocate on their behalf with all the systems. Tiffany, you mm-hmm. go in and you work with all the schools and the police mm-hmm. and whatever other services mm-hmm. they might need. Maybe it's the social welfare mm-hmm. system or mm-hmm. Medical, whatever it is. You're in there trying to put together a program that supports the family and the young person being at home. Am I understanding that correctly
so
far?
Yeah, so I think one important thing to differentiate, though, is that the Therapeutic Family Care Program is a program that works internally with Children's Aid. So we are in a community-based program, but we work very closely with frontline workers, family service workers, to support families to be able to stay together so that children don't have to come into care and don't have to leave their family homes. Where the system navigator role is a role that is more community-based, mm-hmm. That will service families who aren't involved with the child welfare system, but are just a family living within the Northumberland County community that require, some advocacy, some support around navigating the systems that will help them to have their child's complex needs.
So how would they find out about this particular program, Tiffany, mm-hmm. that you run?
Krista,
yes. Sorry.
Yes, no, that's okay. So as I said, it's still a really relatively new a new program. So we do have new pamphlets that we've mm-hmm. just printed and are trying to kind of get out there. I've been trying to do some community presentations, so going to schools. I've gone to the hospital, a number of different community mm-hmm. partners, mm-hmm. trying to provide some information mm-hmm. About the program.
The resilience presentation that we hosted on Tuesday was also another way that we are promoting the role of system navigation.
So there were 25 different agencies locally. Yes. So can you give us a few examples of the kinds of agencies that came to the
yes.
event?
Mm-hmm. What I was really inspired about in terms of that number is we had big agencies, we had smaller agencies, we had a lot of grassroots agencies, and we also had a lot of caregivers that came together. So for example, we had Song, which is it's a local free choir that kids can join. We were at Venture 13, so we did have Northumberland Makers is in Venture 13. They do a lot of things around computer programming, robotics, cooking. Mm-hmm. They have a wide range of different programs for kids. Mm-hmm. So we had them come and we had the lab open to show people what that's all about. We had some of our, larger community agencies that came. Mm-hmm. We had Highland Shores Children's Aid Society. We had lots of staff from our program. Rebound does lots of nice work in terms of some of these ordinary magic pieces mm-hmm. that I've talked about.
We had representation from the local school board, a number of different local schools. We had Northumberland Community Counseling Center participate as well. So we're really a really great cross-section of different local agencies that came together.
So if I was a parent or a grandparent and I'm listening to this, what would be some of the things that I would be looking for that might trigger me to say, you know what, maybe I should go and talk to you? What would you say they should look for?
Like pertaining to this system piece about resiliency or in terms of working with system navigation?
Working with system navigation.
Yeah. So the important piece for system navigation is I do have some criteria in order to work with the program. So there needs to be a child with complex needs. They do need to live in Northumberland, and they do need to be having some sort of system issue, system gap, system barrier that are preventing those needs from being met.
We keep talking about complex needs.
Yes.
You mentioned this term a couple of times. Can we unpack that a little bit? And can you describe for me in more basic terms what is a complex need, or what would be things that I might recognize that would indicate complex need?
Right. And that's a really good question. I think that's a question that I think people have different, understandings of what complex means. So for the program, when we look at a child's development, we look at several different areas. You know, we look at your physical needs. You can look at your emotional, social, mental health needs. So there needs to be, you know, and I'm not the type of person that's going to be like, okay, you need exactly three of these areas, right? There needs to be, I would say, in a couple of those areas that things are hard, right? In terms of a lot of the families and the kids that I work with, we use this word mental health. Mental health is an area where there might be some challenges. Developmental needs is another area where I often work with kids that have some different developmental needs, so some kids with autism or neurodevelopmental challenges. Sometimes that results in some concerning behaviors is oftentimes what can happen, and families really feel like they don't know what to do. They might have, so I get two scenarios. Sometimes families don't know where to go in terms of resources. And the other scenario often is they have a lot of resources, but those resources aren't really fulfilling what they want. Those needs that they want to be met are just not happening. And that's where those barriers might come in.
Is there a case you could give us without giving any identifying information so we don't breach any privacy? But can you tell us maybe a scenario or a story about maybe one of the young people that you helped and what sort of happened over the time that you worked with them. Can you help us with that?
Mm-hmm. Well, and I would like to, in doing that, I kind of draw back, I think, this piece about resilience, because I think when I do work with families, what I've found to be most helpful is what I said earlier, is really starting to understand what people are good at, what kids are good at. So I was working with this individual who loved cars, right? So I was involved for a different reason, because they were having lots of difficulties with him and, you know, in many different areas of his life. What I wanted to kind of get a sense of is, again, what do you like? And he really liked cars, and he liked putting motors together, and he liked buying parts and selling parts and doing all of that. So then our conversation became about how do we build on that, because he was having lots of difficulties leaving the home, right? So this is the example of, again, taking something that seems so little, but we start to build on that, right? So then part of my work was around, is there somebody in the community or in his own family that has an interest in this as well? And then we start to build a little bit of that partnership and that relationship, which I really want to stress is so important. And I think it's something that we sometimes forget about. And I think what's really important about these pieces is we're naming it. We're naming that relationship and connections are important. Especially when we talk about technology and all these different pieces going on in our society, it comes down to the basics of what we need as human beings. And one of that is to feel cared about, belonged, that sense of personal identity. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of, in answering this, touching on some of the key ingredients of resilience. So that was just an example of me working with this family and taking a little bit of, I think, a different approach. He wasn't ready to do some of the things that we wanted him to do. So we have to start with where he's at. This is something he's interested. This is something he feels good about, increases his self-esteem. Let's start with that and see how that builds.
How many children does the therapeutic family care program serve?
Across agencies, we would be serving approximately 100 families, give or take, at any time. Over the course of a year, we would serve upwards of 250 families.
250 families. So in terms of Northumberland County, then, in terms of the overall need, how much of the pie are you working with in terms of families in need?
In Northumberland?
In Northumberland, yeah.
Oh, geez, you know what? I'm not sure off the top of my head the number of families specific to Northumberland.
I guess what I'm trying to get at is I'm trying to get a sense of how large a community is being served, and I guess how great the need is. Because I'm sure if I walked down to any main street in Northumberland and walked them down and said to people, hey, you know, have you ever heard of the Therapeutic Family Care Program? I'm sure I'd draw a blank face. Nobody would know. And yet, you know, you guys have a $2 million budget. You give, I think it's somewhere between 15 and 17,000 hours of community care to young people and families. That's a huge resource being put into the community to meet these needs. So I guess I'm just trying to get a sense of the scope of this so that people understand how important it is. Can you help me with that?
Well, I think specific to the system navigator role, we might be able to speak a little bit more about the specific number of families that Krista has worked with and serviced over her 3 years of being in this role, and that what would that number look like?
I think, you know, this is just a guess on my part. I think it's been probably close to about 100 people. And just to kind of clarify, so this is a program, but it's with one person, so it's me doing this role, and that comes obviously with some complications because Northumberland is such a large area, right? So I don't know if that answers your question. I mean, it's something, and I mean, we do appreciate you having us on because part of this is how do we provide people with this information. Because my program is a community-based program, whereas the other pieces of the therapeutic family care program are do require a child welfare involvement for that to happen. So, I think it's something that we're trying to provide more information to people. I think there's this piece of like word of mouth happening as well, right? I sometimes go into meetings and they're like, oh yeah, I heard about this program through, you know, another school. We are certainly trying to provide more information.
So now that you've had the event on Tuesday, what's next? Sort of what's the next steps after from here?
Well, thus far we've had lots of positive feedback from the participants that have attended. So what we are looking at doing, and we'll certainly provide more information when we have everything settled, is kind of, I think we have some momentum here in our community in terms of this topic, and looking at having additional training, possibly in the winter or the spring, and really kind of expanding more around resilience, this piece of around collective impact. So what can we do together as a community around this? You know, coming together and doing this event, part of what we wanted to do was celebrate what we're doing in Northumberland, because I think there's certainly a lot of really neat things that are happening. And it's also about, can we create some new partnerships? Are there people that came on Tuesday that thought, I hadn't heard about Song before. I hadn't heard about TFC. And, you know, can we try to kind of do something with that. So that was kind of our sort of our hope in doing this event was that we could spark. I like this term of planting seeds of change. So did we just plant something and then something can grow out of it? We'll see, but we've had some really positive feedback thus far.
Well, I wish you the best with your project and good luck with this resiliency. I hope it takes, I hope the seeds do grow and the garden flourishes. So on that note, we're going to take a break for some commercials. I want to thank Krista Mathers and Tiffany Thixon of the Therapeutic Family Care Program for talking to us today. Coming up next, a pre-recorded interview I did with Brighton Mayor Brian Orstrander yesterday. Please stay tuned for Consider This on Northumberland 89.7 FM, your truly local source for news. We'll be right back.